Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. Here it is, the 27th of December, still no snow, so that's kind of interesting. But it's another wonderful day, and we have this opportunity to sing and worship God for a while. Always a wonderful thing to do. And of course, we're going to be studying His Word after that, but before we do anything this morning, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst be here today with us. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We pray, O God, that Thy perfect will be done, that Thou wouldst move upon us greatly, O God, and inspire us as we worship Thee to truly give Thee our hearts. Abide over this entire service, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your hymnal, we're going to start this morning with number 237, I've Anchored in Jesus. Upon life's boundless ocean, where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me, as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, Lord, He hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior, in Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond love's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. Number 135, and sing, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Just to rest upon His breath.
Jesus, Jesus, now I trust Him. How I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, it is sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, now I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him
thing to praise and worship God. So why don't we go to number 2? Praise Him, praise Him.
Sorrow, love unbounded.
Praise the Lord. And we do have the victory today through Jesus Christ, who won that victory for us. Why don't we go to number 252 and sing Victory. To sing about the victory we have in Jesus. In fact, why don't we go to number 294 and sing that song, Victory in Jesus.
A wretch like me.
I've heard about His wounding, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all the love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. About a mansion that He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the story of victory. With His redeeming blood, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
So thankful for that victory we are assured of. Praise God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Rob, could I get you to do that for us, please?
Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings, for thy many abundant blessings, for thy sustaining power, for thy mercy and thy grace that has kept us for so many years. And I pray, O God, that thou hast continued to guide us, lead us, and direct us. Give us the wisdom on how these funds should be used for the sake of thy kingdom and for the cause of thy name. And we pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word today, and that's going to be number 54, Oh Say But I'm Glad, number 54. Today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul just sings, oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. We have a fellowship rich and sweet, tongues can never relate. Abiding in him is a real treat. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, weary and worn and sad, you too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. With that thought in mind, I think we will get started in the Word this morning. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to call this message this morning, An Everlasting Kingdom. And what we're going to be focusing in on is what we're seeing happening in the world today, how there are powers at work, powers who are trying to set up a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world beast system. They're trying to set this up even as we speak, but you know what? They're going to fail. And we're going to look at what they're trying to do. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say about a one-world empire. And we're going to look at how we are assured that they will indeed fail. Before I read even one verse today, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, seeking thy guidance and thy direction as we open thy holy word. We pray for thy understanding. We pray for thy guidance, for we know it's only by thy guidance we can understand and comprehend thy word. And we pray, O God, that thou hast given us the discernment we need as we study thy scriptures, O God. Open our eyes to thy word. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Move upon us greatly with thy power and thy might, we pray. And we ask, O God, that thou hast be with us as we study thy word. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to be starting in Revelation chapter 13, but before we read any verses, there's something else I need to read. A portion of it's actually quite a lengthy document. And I've been working on a newsletter. It's almost finished. I'm hoping to get it finished up today, finally. It's been quite a process. But, when you're studying for the newsletter and you're writing, you come across some pretty amazing things sometimes. And we live in a world today where there is an organization which calls itself the United Nations. And the United Nations, they have goals. What are their goals? Well, in case anybody was wondering, they just came out with a document a couple months ago which tells us exactly what their goals are. And this document, it's titled Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. So these are goals that they're hoping to have in place by the year 2030, which is only 15 years away, about 15 years. We're about to enter the year 2016, and they're hoping to have all of this in place in just that short amount of time. When you stop and think about it, 15 years isn't very long. I can think back and remember the year 2000, and it seems like it was just yesterday, but that's already been 15 years. 15 years can come and go in a flash. And this is what they're hoping to accomplish in part. I can't read the whole document because, like I said, it's very lengthy. But in the preamble, I'll just read the preamble part first so you can get a feel for what they're talking about here. It tells us, this agenda is a plan of action for people, planet, and prosperity. It also seeks to strengthen universal peace and larger freedom. We recognize that eradicating poverty in all its forms and dimensions, including extreme poverty, is the greatest global challenge and an indispensable requirement for sustainable development. All countries and all stakeholders acting in collaborative partnership will implement this plan. So what they're saying here, this plan that they're about to document here, it's for all countries in the world, all nations, all stakeholders, as they say. We are resolved to free the human race from the tyranny of poverty and want and to heal and secure our planet. So this is what they say they're going to do. And you know, on the surface that sounds good, eradicate poverty. Well, doesn't that sound wonderful? But they detail some of the things that they hope to accomplish, some of the things they hope to do, and it's not pretty. In another section of this document, it tells us, this is an agenda of unprecedented scope and significance. It is accepted by all countries and is applicable to all, taking into account different national realities, capacities, and levels of development and respecting national policies and priorities. These are universal goals and targets which involve the entire world, developed and developing countries alike. They are integrated and indivisible and balance the three dimensions of sustainable development. Now, as we continue on in this document, and like I said, it's very lengthy, so I can't read the whole thing. They tell us some of the things they're hoping to do. And one of the things that the system is going to have is a universal educational system. It says on this page of the document, we commit to providing inclusive and equitable quality education at all levels, early childhood, primary, secondary, tertiary, technical, and vocational training. All people, irrespective of sex, age, race, ethnicity, and persons with disabilities, migrants, indigenous peoples, children, and youth, especially those in vulnerable situations, should have access to lifelong learning opportunities that help them acquire the knowledge and skills needed to exploit opportunities and to participate fully in society. We will strive to provide children and youth with a nurturing environment for the full realization of their rights and capabilities, helping our countries to reap the demographic dividend, including through safe schools and cohesive communities and families. Now, people might look at that and read that and think, well, that sounds wonderful. Education for all. But this isn't just education. This is indoctrination. So that people are able to participate fully in society, be responsible global citizens. And the problem with this is it's under the control of the United Nations in every country. And that's not a good thing. But people, you know, a lot of people, they're unhappy with Obamacare. They think, well, this is a horrible system. And I have to say, I'm not too pleased with it either. I tell you what, signed up for insurance because they were going to fine me quite a significant amount. And I tell you what, that Obamacare hasn't covered a whole lot. I think of my $700 or so in medical bills this year, they covered $12.25. So I'm not impressed with Obamacare, I have to say. And a lot of people think, well, this system, it's a horrible system, this Obamacare. We hate it. But wait till you hear what the United Nations wants to do. They want to set up a truly universal healthcare system that encompasses every nation, every country. It says here in this document, to promote physical and mental health and well-being and to extend life expectancy for all, we must achieve universal health coverage and access to quality health care. Universal health coverage, and they mean that in the truest sense of the word, encompassing the entire planet. No one must be left behind. We commit to accelerating the progress made to date in reducing newborn child and maternal mortality by ending all such preventable deaths before 2030. We are committed to ensuring universal access to sexual and reproductive health care services, including for family planning, information, and education. That's another thing they want to do. They want to make sure that there is global access to abortion so that everyone, all women, all over the world can have their abortions. That's one of the things they're hoping to accomplish, one of their goals. And they want to have this system in place by 2030. So far, we've talked about a universal educational system, a universal healthcare system, and now they want a universal economic system. We will seek to build strong economic foundations for all our countries. Sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth is essential for prosperity. This will only be possible if wealth is shared and income inequality is addressed. You know what that is? What they're talking about there? Socialism. And they want to implement that on a global scale. And you can bet this economic system they want to implement will be a cashless society. And in order to buy and sell, you got to have their mark. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to achieve all of this by the year 2030, but they're certainly hoping to. That is their goal. And that's not very long down the timeline in history, is it? And of course, there's the matter of climate change. And of course, they are the premier authority on dealing with climate change, they claim. And it says, we acknowledge that the UNFCCC, which is the UN's Coalition on Climate Change, I forget what the acronym stands for exactly, but it's their climate change body that's dealing with all of that. We acknowledge that the UNFCCC is the primary international intergovernmental forum for negotiating the global response to climate change. We are determined to address decisively the threat posed by climate change and environmental degradation. The global nature of climate change calls for the widest possible international cooperation aimed at accelerating the reduction of global greenhouse gas emissions and addressing adaptation to the adverse impacts of climate change. So, yes, that's a big deal, too. And what are they using climate change for? To unite the world. That's how it's being used. And we know that the Pope, of course, is making a big deal out of that. The Pope, when he came to the United States, he would get up and he would give speeches, and there would be no mentions whatsoever of Jesus Christ, but he would talk about climate change, wouldn't he? Oh, yes, that's what the Pope is preaching about today, climate change. And as we look at Revelation chapter 3, we're going to see a story of two beasts. Two beasts that work together in tandem, and one of them is a political system, and the other is a religious system. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 tells us, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now this beast is quite something, because it is a mixture, a combination of the world empires that we had in past years, throughout history. You know, leading up to the time of Jesus Christ, there was a one world government. You had Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then all of a sudden Jesus came, and there weren't any more one world governments, and there hasn't been one since. But during the Roman Empire, the Savior came and established his kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, which is something we're going to be looking at a little bit later. But we see here that there's this beast rising up, and this beast is trying to establish a one world government, a government that encompasses has elements of all those previous empires. Verse 2 tells us, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now there's something we need to remember about the book of Revelation. You can't interpret this literally. If you had to interpret this literally, there would be this very strange beast that was part leopard and part bear and part lion, and there would be a dragon giving him his power. Now the dragon, what that's talking about there is Satan, the devil. He is the dragon. But we see this beast rising up out of the sea. And like I said, it's a mixture of the previous empires of the world. And they're trying to set up a one world government. But thinking back to the book of Daniel in the second chapter, when Nebuchadnezzar had that dream and Daniel gave him the interpretation, there was that statue, wasn't there? And that statue on the bottom was part iron and part clay. The last empire, strength mixed with weakness. They could never quite get it set up. Because there's weakness there, and there's a stone that comes along and destroys the whole thing. And you know what that stone is? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen.
But we see this beast has great authority given to it by the devil, by Satan, the dragon. And verse 3 tells us, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now what is that deadly wound that it's talking about there? Well, that was when Jesus came. When Jesus came and mortally wounded that beast. In fact, actually, I'm just going to quickly go to Genesis chapter 3 for just one verse. I'm only going to be there briefly, so you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But Genesis chapter 3, you go down to the 15th verse. Genesis 3:15. And we're going to see in there a prophecy. A prophecy about the Lord Jesus. Genesis 3:15. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That seed it's talking about, the seed of Jesus. He bruised that head of the beast. And of course, yes, Jesus, he died on that cross, but he rose victorious from that grave. Now going back to Revelation. And I'll read verse 3 again. It says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." And you know, it seemed that way, as if the beast was healed. And it's still out there working and doing its plan. But there's a reason God allowed that beast to persist. There's a reason time hasn't wrapped up. And the reason for that is the harvest is not yet complete. God's people, he's still gathering them.
Yeah.
And when the harvest is complete, then the beast will be completely and fully destroyed. And verse 4 tells us, "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" You know, when they're trying to set up this one world government, this one world beast system. And when they have that, or get close to having that set up, people are going to look at that and think, "Wow, look how united they are. Nobody can make war with that. Nobody could ever overcome that." You stop and think about it. If all of the armies of the world are united, which is something they're hoping to do, who is the enemy? Who's the opponent? And you know, to find out, you can actually find that answer in Revelation chapter 19. It tells you who that opponent is, who the armies of the world, all of them are gathered against, Jesus Christ, at the end of the world. And you know, at that point in time, there are no good nations, no good countries, no good guys, no good armies. They're all gathered to fight the Lord Jesus, and they're going to fail miserably. You can read all about that in Revelation chapter 19. But here we see the people, they're worshiping the dragon, and they're worshiping the beast. And verse 5 tells us, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Of course, we know 42 months, that would be about 3.5 years. "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." Is there a spirit of blasphemy in the world today? Oh, yes. All over the place. You can find it on the television. You can find it on the internet for sure. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. This beast spirit. Verse 7. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Notice that. Power was given to this beast over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Kind of sounds like the United Nations, doesn't it? "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Notice, almost the entire world is going after this beast, worshiping this beast. Who is able to make war with this beast? But not everybody. There is a remnant people who do not go along with this system. And they are the children of the Lamb written in the book of life. The small remnant. And I pray to God that includes you and I. Oh yes, most of the world will be deceived. They will follow after that beast. And verse 9 tells us, "If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Notice it talks about the patience of the saints.
Yeah.
And you know, we are going to have to endure hard things. There's not going to be a pre-trib rapture, as many people believe. They think that God will just take them up out of the way before this beast system comes into play. But no, that's not going to happen. We have to endure until the end. There's not going to be a pre-trib rapture. Oh yes, I do believe in a catching up, but that is at the last day, at the last trump. Verse 11 tells us, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Now, there's another beast coming up out of the earth, out of the land. The first beast came out of the sea, and that first beast represented this one world global government they're trying to set up. And now there's another beast working in collusion with the other beast. And this beast represents the religious structure. Notice, it had two horns like a lamb. It looked like a lamb, but it spake like a dragon, the devil. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And it's kind of interesting, the Catholic Church, you know, that they have that religious structure, and they're united with world governments. In fact, traditionally, when a new king would be crowned, they had to go to the Pope, didn't they? The Pope would put that crown on those king's heads. Because, you know, people, they believe that the Pope was like God on earth, the vicar of Christ, supposedly. So they would go and they would unite with the Roman Catholic Church. And there you would have the religious structure united with the government structure. And in the last days, you're going to have a one world government and a one world religion. And you look at the Catholic system, and they are a very, very, very powerful system, aren't they? In that over by Rome, and they have that Vatican City there, which is a nation state. Billions upon billions upon billions of dollars. In fact, nobody even knows exactly how much money they have. It can only be estimated. But they have billions upon billions. And it is a filthy, rotten organization, that Roman Catholic system, a beast system, a religious beast system. It's a beast that outwardly might look like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon. And it has all the power of the first beast. And you know, you see all that power rolled together as one. And it's just interesting, you know. You had the Pope earlier this year with his document calling for a global system of governance and authority to rise up over the entire world to fight climate change. And like I said, climate change is that mechanism by which they bring together the entire world. That's what they're trying to use it for. And you have the United Nations, which represents all the governments of the world, and then you have the Catholic system, the Pope, and they are working together. Verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Notice, he's miraculous sights, great wonders. They have the religious aspect of it. And, you know, the Catholic Church, they do claim that miracles are performed. They have various things. They say the Pope can liquefy dry blood and so forth, and you got the stigmata and all that, and they say, oh, we've got great wonders, we've got great signs. But they're false wonders, aren't they? They get their power from the dragon. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Like I said, there's great persecution for those who refuse to go along with the system, those who will not take the mark of the beast. In fact, we're going to read about that right now. Verse 16 tells us, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And you know, you look at that, if you don't take this mark in this system that they're implementing, you can't buy or sell. So that means it's an economic system, a monetary system, a method by which transactions are made. And it affects everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. But you know what? The Bible tells us in Revelation, in fact, it tells us those who take this mark, they do not go to heaven. They are lost. So just to be on the safe side, we don't know for sure exactly what the mark of the beast might look like. There have been a lot of theories about that. People have thought perhaps it would be barcodes or RFID tags, and now they've got tattoos that they can put on people, which are actually electronic tattoos, computer systems really, that they embed right in people's skin or printed right on their skin. Oh yes, there's a lot of systems they could put in place. But just to be on the safe side, don't take any marks. Don't take any marks. But it tells us in verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Notice you can't buy and you can't sell anymore unless you have that mark. Well, that's all right. We're not going to take that mark. If we can't buy or sell, the Lord will take care of us somehow. I believe that. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. And that is a number you see in a lot of places. You see that all over, and that is the number of our adversary, the devil. The number of the beast. So watch out for that number. But we see in this chapter in Revelation, there are two beasts that rise up. You have the global governance, that system, the first beast that came out of the sea, and then the second beast, a religious system that rises up. It looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. And now what I want to do is go to Daniel chapter 7. And it's going to be amazing how Daniel ties in with Revelation. Daniel chapter 7. And you're going to notice some strong similarities here to what we just read in Revelation chapter 13. Daniel chapter 7, and this is going to tell us about a dream that Daniel had. It was a dream that troubled him. You know, some dreams are like that. Not all dreams are good. But this was a prophetic dream. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, it tells us, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. So this dream, it took place during the first year of Belshazzar. So it was after the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. But it tells us in verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Four winds, north, south, east, and west, came from the four corners. But the four winds of heaven, and verse 3 tells us, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, this beast, when it talks about a lion, that represents the courage of a lion, doesn't it? And you have eagle's wings, which represents swiftness, great speed. But it loses its wings, doesn't it? And it loses that courage of a lion that it had, and it's given a heart of a man instead. And what this is referring to is the Babylonian Empire. That's what this represents. The empire, which at that point was still in force, but it wouldn't be for much longer. Another empire would come in and take over. Verse 5 tells us, and behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And of course, this is a very vicious beast, a devourer, a beast that went out and conquered the world and devoured many peoples and nations and so forth. It was a mean one. And that represented the Medo-Persian Empire. And notice, as we're reading this, what are these animals we see represented in these beasts? A lion and a bear. Where else do we read about a beast that was like a lion and a bear? Revelation chapter 13. And verse 6 tells us, "After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it." Now, if the first beast had eagle's wings, one pair, and that represented swiftness and speed, now this beast must have had great speed, and of course we know leopards are very speedy too, aren't they? And this represents the conquering Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, who came along and set up the Greek Empire there. And then, when he died, when Alexander the Great died, the empire was divided between four generals, four heads. And those four generals were Lysimachus, Cassander, Seleucus, and Ptolemy. So here we see the Greek Empire. And verse 7 tells us, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Suddenly it is a beast unlike the other beasts, stronger, more powerful, more vicious, dreadful and terrible. And this is the Roman Empire. This was the empire that was in place when Jesus Christ came. And Jesus Christ destroyed that empire. Verse 8, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." So, we see here, there's this great beast, this dreadful beast, the Roman Empire, and there came up a little horn on this beast. What is that little horn? Well, that, I believe, represents the Roman Catholic system, in particular the Pope, who speaks great things. See, out of a political system came a religious system, and that was set up by Constantine, we know. He decided that in order to gain the support of the people, he would proclaim himself to be a Christian, but he wasn't truly a Christian at all. But there's this little horn that rises up and speaks great things. And I believe that's referring to the Roman Catholic system, the Pope, specifically. "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." So now, we're reading about the Ancient of Days. Who is that? Well, that's God. "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." Yeah. Judgment day. Judgment day, when all stand before God in judgment. And we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. We're all going to have to give an account of our lives. Judgment day. But for those of us who are clothed in his righteousness, washed in the blood of the Lamb, our sins no longer condemn us. They are washed away. They are forgiven. Well, praise the Lord for that. But we see the Ancient of Days, Judgment Day, comes. "I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame."
Praise the Lord.
Notice, yeah, that beast is going to be destroyed. By who?
Yeah.
By the Ancient of Days. "As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." What does it tell us in the book of Revelation? "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. It is an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It will never be destroyed. And out of this world there's a remnant that comes from every nation. All people, nations, and languages, a remnant comes forth. Oh yes, everyone else, those who take the mark, they're all destroyed, but there's a remnant. And it's people from all nations and languages, that remnant. Verse 15 tells us, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. So here we see Daniel. He was troubled by this. He wanted to know what all of this meant. So he asked an angel about it. Oh yes, there were angels there. And verse 17 tells us, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Four empires, four kingdoms. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Who really wins in the end? The saints of God.
Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord.
Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them. Oh yes, there is a time, for a time it's going to appear as though the beast making war with the saints is victorious over the saints, but that's only a temporary thing. In the end, the beast loses. But there will be trouble for a time, persecution for a time. And verse 22 tells us, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Judgment is coming from the Ancient of Days. And after that judgment, it is the saints of the Most High who possess the kingdom, a kingdom that will be established in heaven, that everlasting kingdom, that everlasting city where the Lamb is the light. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of the kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. And it's really kind of interesting when you stop and think about it. The Roman Catholic system, they changed the times and the laws, didn't they? They changed the calendar. There was a Julian calendar, and they said, no, we're going to have this Gregorian calendar instead, which is still in force today. It's still the calendar we have. And it was the Catholic Church that put that in place. They changed the times and the laws. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Oh yes, there is a beast system rising up. But that beast system is going to be destroyed. The dragon is not going to be victorious in the end. Jesus is victorious, and we, the saints of God, share in that victory. Verse 28, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, that means his thoughts, much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And you know, it can be very distressing to see the things that they're doing, the things they have planned, the things they're trying to accomplish. Got the United Nations, and they are trying to set up a one-world government. They've got it in their own document, their goals, and they want to have it in place by the year 2030. Will they be successful in getting close, at least, by the year 2030? I don't know. God is the one who's ultimately in control. But you have to realize that that's not too far off in the distance. And when you stop and think about it, we could be very, very, very close to the coming of the Lord. Very close to that time of judgment when that beast is judged and that dragon is destroyed. The beast and the dragon destroyed by the Ancient of Days.
Yes.
We are close. They're trying to set up their system right now. But you know what? I don't believe they're ever going to be successful, because there's another kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And that kingdom will never be destroyed. That is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, thanking thee for thy scripture, thanking thee for thy holy word, thanking thee for the victory that thou hast assured us. For we find comfort, O God, in thy proclamation. We find comfort in knowing that ultimately, in the end, victory belongs to thee. We find comfort in knowing that this beast system they attempt to set up will never be successful. And we praise thee, O God, for thy loving kindness, for thy mercy towards us, for that discernment that thou hast given us, so that we can see what they're trying to do and understand the works of darkness. And I pray, O God, that we would never lose sight of thee, but that we would rest in thee, put our hope and our trust in thee always, and be obedient to thy word. We ask, O God, for thy strength. We ask for thy Spirit to be upon us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray, so that we may endure until the end. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, they're trying to set up their system, you know, and they're not going to be successful. One fine day, and this is all over. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus and behold Him face to face. What a day that will be. We're going to sing that chorus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. That's number 131 in the chorus book. 131.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Thank you.